Nichols, who will talk to us and then lead us through our act of communion. James, welcome to the virtual little church. Lovely to see you. Over to you.
Lovely, Andrew. Thank you so much. Well, we're really sorry not to be with all of you who are in Verbier physically this Sunday, but it's a real privilege to be able to join you online. We are living in incredibly strange times, with parts of the world in lockdown and the number of deaths from coronavirus continuing to rise. This season of Easter and its message of hope has rarely been more relevant. It is at times like this that we find out what we truly believe. If we have a real saving faith, it will transform both how we see the world around us and the way that we live our lives. And given the unprecedented circumstances, I want to do something slightly different today. I would normally preach through a gospel passage, but instead we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 15. And the first part of the passage makes it absolutely clear the foundational importance of the resurrection for our faith. We're then going to focus on three points from verses 57 and 58. First of all, God gives the victory. Second, let nothing move you. And finally, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. At the heart of the Christian faith is not earthly survival. It's not immortality or reincarnation, but resurrection from the dead. And this resurrection is the final proof that our God is love and that what the scriptures speak of him are true. The gospel proclaimed to the Corinthians, culminating in the resurrection of Jesus, had completely transformed the lives of the Christians in Corinth. And Paul wrote this remarkable chapter of 1 Corinthians because some there had begun to move away from what they were initially taught and to suggest that there is no resurrection of the dead. And there were a number of particular cultural and theological reasons for this. Suffice to say that throughout history, people have struggled with the resurrection. The resurrection offends our rational, scientific understanding of the world. Whether you were an ancient Greek or are a modern European, the resurrection of Jesus strips away the excuses behind which we try and hide from God. But if the resurrection did not happen, then the consequences to the Christian faith are devastating. And Paul sets them out here. He says that his sufferings and preaching are in vain. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus himself did not triumph over death. If there is no resurrection, then there's nothing left on which we can rest our faith. Only the decomposed corpse of an itinerant Jewish carpenter turned rabbi. All talk of Christ dying for our sins according to the scriptures becomes meaningless if, in fact, he stayed dead. The cross requires the resurrection to have power. Otherwise, it has achieved nothing, and we are still in our sin. If there's no resurrection, then death remains not just the last enemy, verse 26, but one inevitable, insurmountable terror. Death is not falling asleep in Christ and waking up to see his smile of welcome into the Father's house. It is hard confirmation of the lostness of all people, that we are all doomed to perish without hope and without God. In that case, we are left with an empty gospel and a fraudulent saviour. We are only to be pitied. What do you believe about the resurrection? Is it something that you try not to think about too much? Do you repeat the affirmation of the resurrection in the creed parrot fashion or with conviction? Because the resurrection is absolutely foundational to our faith. And there is both strong medical and historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. The hopes of the disciples that Jesus was the Messiah, the chosen one, seem to have come to nothing on the cross. And something extraordinary happened to transform this group of people, depressed and disillusioned by the death of Jesus, into those who are prepared to be tortured and to lose their lives for what they believed about the resurrection of Jesus. And if you are not completely sure about the resurrection, I'd encourage you maybe to do the Alpha Course, which addresses all these issues extremely well and thoroughly. We need not doubt the resurrection. Research and believe. And having shown clearly why the resurrection is so fundamental to the Christian faith, Paul goes on to look at the impact that this truth has for our lives. And the first thing, the first truth, is that God gives the victory. Because the resurrection shows that God gives the victory through Jesus, verse 57. The resurrection life of Christ is a free, undeserved gift of grace. There is nothing that we can do to merit it. There's nothing we need do to earn it. In Adam, all die. In Christ, we are made alive. We can leave behind our likeness to the rebellious earthly Adam and take on the likeness of the perfect man from heaven, Jesus Christ. His resurrection life cannot finally be entered into until Jesus comes again, but we can begin to live this resurrection life today. As we spend time with the risen Lord Jesus and allow him to fill us and to change our lives, his life will overflow in us, healing our whole selves, body, mind, and spirit, and enabling us to become who he truly intends us to be. He, God, gives the victory. Now, the world has always been an uncertain place, and our current reality is that people we love may get sick, and many of us may lose friends or relatives to coronavirus. We have friends who are losing their parents to the extent that my wife Bethia has been writing a letter of condolence each week for the past few weeks. We have good friends whose livelihood or business is threatened. And Paul urges us, when things around us are falling apart, let nothing move you. And he uses a particularly warm form of address. He says, my beloved brothers and sisters. He encourages us to be steady and unshakable in pressing into the Lord, simply holding on when the going is tough. But despite Paul's confident expectation in the resurrection and in Christ's ultimate vindication and victory, there's no superficial triumphalism in his attitude to death. He acknowledges the bitterness of its sting. Triumphalism leads to disillusionment, but we need a sober realism imbued with a fervent hope in resurrection. Because Jesus was not only absent from the tomb, he was present with his disciples. And we can have hope because we're not abandoned. Jesus is with us in the midst of it all. God, our God, is the God of redemption. He brings life out of death. And if we seek the risen Lord Jesus, we will find him and we will find life. Do not be afraid. Let nothing move you. Finally, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. And this requires real labor, real toil. And the paradox of the resurrection is that it is in the very process of losing our lives to God and in service of others that we actually find them. The work of the Lord may take different forms, I think, but it always starts with prayer. Prayer simply to be in his presence. Prayer for those who are fearful. Prayer for those who are sick. Prayer for those in leadership who are having to make hard, life-affecting decisions with little precedent. In these times of hope and uncertainty, we have the surest hope founded on Jesus. But our friends, family, and those in our communities will only know that hope if we speak it out. So once we've begun our acts of service with prayer, we need to continue it with what we say. Under lockdown, we're no longer meeting people in the same way, but we can talk about the hope that we have in Christ on Instagram and Facebook, using Zoom, Skype, and even email and text. And we mustn't forget practical help and service too, shopping for people who can't get out, volunteering for food banks and supporting the emergency services, keeping in touch with the isolated by phone, Zoom or Skype. We've set up a WhatsApp group in our village in Sussex for our neighbours to help us help each other. And even though we can't meet, we're getting to know each other as we never have done before. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. And Paul says if we do that, we can be confident that our labour in the Lord will not be in vain. With the world in chaos around us, whatever happens around us, we must not listen to fear. Whatever happens, we're in the arms of a good and loving God. Whatever happens, we can still win as we cling to Him. So may I encourage us this Easter Sunday that it is God who gives us the victory. And Paul tells us, let nothing move you. And finally, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. And today we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, the event that gives us life. And the resurrection is a fearsome intervention into the world. It is a hard fact, real and certain. It empowers us to live in intimacy with God, children of our Heavenly Father. It allows the whole of our life and work to be full of purpose and hope. It enables us to be resurrected in the same way and the same body that Jesus Christ himself. And as today draws to a close, may I encourage you to ask the Lord to confront you anew with the power of the resurrection of his Son. Nothing has been can be resurrected that has not died. May we respond to Jesus. May we lose our lives in him. And in so doing, find resurrection life to the full. We're going to have